podcast where we interview individuals just like you, dealing with their own journey from loss to growth, along with mental health experts, growth guides, all with the purpose of healing you better, improving your mind, body, and spirit, and finding your new purpose from the loss and tragedy that you have experienced. Hi, I'm Tom Pacello. I'm your host. I'm a growth evangelist, as well as a fellow widower. Lost my beautiful bride of 19 years, Judy, some 5.5 years ago. Today, we have a special guest. He is Alex Hamlow. He's a widower brother who lost his wife, Candy, his companion of 34 years, to cancer. And that was just a short time ago. Alex is a chief commercial officer, or was a chief commercial officer, at Chiron Medical, a longtime commercial exec for GE Healthcare. And now he runs a consulting, advisory, and coaching firm serving B2B healthcare leaders in their go-to-market strategies to support others who have autoimmune disorders on their cancer journey, just like his wife Candy did. He started a foundation in his wife's name, the Candy Hamlow Memorial Foundation. And we're here to learn more about that foundation, Alex's journey, his new mission, and how he's doing through the grief journey himself. Alex Hamlow, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
I like to start with how the story began and how did you meet Candy?
Yeah, it's quite a story. So we met almost 36 years ago in Southern California at an Irish pub restaurant. I say restaurant loosely, it was mostly a pub, but ironically, neither of us actually had even planned to go there or really even wanted to be there. But in fact, we were brought there by somebody else. In the end, we had a little bit of a connection, shared numbers, and met up a few days later. And that started really an amazing friendship that married 4 years later and together for 34 years before we unfortunately separated with her passing.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the life you built together. It was in Southern California mostly.
So ironically, actually, within 6 months of meeting, I actually got a promotion that included a move out of Southern California, mm-hmm. out to Ohio. And that was a big deal. But ultimately, Candy ended up joining me a few months after that because I actually got another transfer back to California, but not in Southern California, the Bay Area of San Francisco. So I had been sort of on my own since I was 17, but for her, that was the first time away from her family and lifelong friends and home and all those kinds of things. And so her whole world was turned upside down when she moved. She thought it was going to be a great thing, but it was really tough. In fact, it almost ended in that first year just because of her missing so much of her life. But thankfully, we really stuck it together. And we ended up getting married in November of 92. And after some time there, we moved back to San Diego, mm-hmm. Which neither of us had a stake in. But it was close enough to our family up in the LA area that it made sense. We were both chasing careers. And really, that was our focus until the late 2000s, really, when we had actually a big medical scare. That landed Candy in the hospital for 4 days and ultimately ended up in a confirmed diagnosis for multiple sclerosis.
Yeah. Tell us about that. I mean, that obviously was life-changing. Tell us a little bit about multiple sclerosis and the impact it had on Candy and on your lives together.
Yeah. So MS, as most people know, multiple sclerosis is quite a crazy condition. And when she was diagnosed, it's a hard one to actually diagnose. Many people have it for years before they actually get diagnosed. In her case, they believed she was having a potential MI, a potential heart attack or cardiac condition because of the representation of, you know, numbness and all the telltale signs, left side of a heart attack, et cetera. And she ended up being a walking miracle because she had probably had the condition for a couple of years and her MRI scans through this process really showed, well, that person's going to be a blind person and a disabled person. But she was neither. Wow. All she had was some left side weakness. And that began sort of our journey of changing the way we thought about the daily life together and really a recommitment to each other and living each day more fully. It also, you know, led us to rekindle our faith and purpose which was ultimately, you know, what really made what was a very sad and tragic ending to our marriage with her passing, something that was recoverable, I would call it. Mm-hmm. So what we did was just embrace the present at that point. We started to make choices, recognizing that the future isn't guaranteed to anyone, and it's mm-hmm. certainly not guaranteed to what you expect it to be.
Yeah. And so taking vacations, not focusing so much on work, something that many of us kind of look back and are like, why didn't I take that time? Right.
The age of wisdom, right. Wisdom of age. The thing I would say is we still didn't go nuts, right. We still were responsible, but what we didn't do is say, well, we have a goal now that we're going to retire by a certain age and make sure that we have this much put away so we can then go do all these things. Mm-hmm. We simply said, we're going to roll with the opportunities as they come. If that means we end up working a little longer, so what? We're going to enjoy the opportunities that come, whether that be travel, whether that be opportunities to just literally jump on a plane after winning a contest and going to safari in Africa, which we did. Things like that. So it made a difference for sure in living life fully and no regrets.
Yeah. But then, I mean, MS wasn't enough. Then you get a cancer diagnosis on top of it. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. And we actually have MS to thank a little bit for that, because crazily enough, it is a strange disease and medications work for a while and then they don't. And essentially in 2021, early 2021, she was having some more MS issues. And so we were working through some testing and trying to figure out whether she should switch medications and what have you. And through that process at the end of 2021, some tests resulted in uncovering an aggressive stage 4 metastatic uterine cancer, which otherwise presented no symptoms. She was diagnosed formally in January of 2022, had successful surgery, post-chemo to remove all the tumors in May of 2022, and really had a great prognosis. By the end of July, after recovering from surgery, which was a very extensive surgery, she had 3 very large tumors removed. She had a full hysterectomy complete and the whole thing. She was completely clear with PET CT and all that by the end of July, and no more chemos. We had a couple, and then that was it. And she went on a targeted immunotherapy at that point, which was really a blessing to understand that it existed. And frankly, cancer research has gone, you know, very far in terms of specialized treatment for these kinds of cancers. Once you have surgery, once you have pathology, they can really target things. And fortunately, I've been in healthcare for 30 plus years, so I used my network to ensure we got additional opinions, because, you know, you want as many voices on this as possible. So I was fortunate to have Mass General, Harvard, actually look at her pathology. We actually got the CMO of Memorial Sloan Kettering to look at the treatment plan and approach. Really the best of the best, right? So we were even talking about remission in September. But unfortunately, mid-September, she started having a bit of GI distress. Mm-hmm. It can happen. Part of her surgery included a colostomy temporary. And so that can happen with that. So we had another PET, which was kind of scheduled as a follow-up anyway. But in that PET, after just 6 weeks from the previous one, a new tumor, which was 4 inches by 3 inches, had emerged right around her small intestine. And it was essentially strangling or squeezing her small intestines, which, long story short, 3 days later, while we're trying to process what we were seeing with her doctors, it perforated her bowel, sent her to the emergency room in a with a massive infection. And in the end, she ended up passing October 10th.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. In that, I know that you learned a lot, and that was part of the inspiration of starting the foundation that's in your wife's name. Talk about why that's so important and what the foundation's mission is and why it's so important, Alex.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think, well, there's a couple of things. One is I've been in healthcare 30 plus years, and you know, I really believe that we have great healthcare system, and we have great opportunity to even continue to do more, and we're learning more every day. But in the end, every cancer patient is actually on an individual journey. And the more we know about cancer, the more we still practice things, because we're trying to still figure things out. And in the case of Candy, it was the fact that she had this underlying autoimmune MS that really made the difference. That targeted immunotherapy that she had was absolutely clinically proven, et cetera, for folks that were, you know, diagnosed with the same cancer, had that same pathology, but unfortunately it had never been trialed against any patients with underlying conditions like MS. And so in fact, what ended up happening was likely it was an accelerant. Her MS was likely an accelerant to the tumor growth, and then her sudden passing. Wasn't really her anybody's fault, necessarily the oncology team or neurology team or et cetera, but it's really, you know, how our health systems are set up to work. And that's not true just here in the US, that's true anywhere.
Sure, sure. And it just goes to the complexity of the disease. Like you said, there's been amazing advances, but there's still a lot that needs to be known. And therein lies part of the challenge, right? Is just knowledge. I mean, you were an expert in healthcare, had been doing it for 30 years with some of the best companies, GE Healthcare being one of them, and still face some of these challenges. So that's part of what the foundation is trying to help with, right?
Exactly. And so the idea was, you know, in the spirit of Candy and in the spirit of who she was, how do we tackle that in her name? And really, the missing link is connections, people connecting with people, and this not just clinically, but actually in person as well. So the foundation is intentionally designed to help women who have been diagnosed with gynecological cancers, which most people don't think about this, but gynecological cancers for women are the actual killer cancers. Like the breast cancers, the other cancers are generally more treatable. They actually are more unrecognizable. And the killer cancers are the gynecological cancers. And when a woman has been diagnosed with that and has an underlying condition, their ability to navigate the healthcare system with specialty pharmacists, with clinical experts, to get support, to get folks actually talking to each other. It's not like oncologists have spare free time to go learn about neurology, right? I mean, this is why they specialize. The reality is, the more we get targeted in these focused efforts, like these cancers, the more patients end up being removed from managing their care because they don't really have a broad array of choices. They're being told, here's, you know, what we've learned, here's what you should do, here's what you have to do. So what the foundation is doing is it's empowering the education of patients by connecting these resources through the journey we had, which ultimately has changed, for example, the oncology practice where Candy received her care, which is an expert, the best in Southern California. And they've actually changed how they think about folks now that have a secondary underlying condition and how they actually are interested in and supporting the foundation in connecting these dots for those patients.
Yeah, Candy with an I, hamlofoundation.org. We'll include it in the meeting notes so you can look that up. And I know, you know, it hasn't been that long, Alex, since Candy's passing. I mean, really. And I've gotten to know you over several phone calls and conversations that we've had. And your journey has been remarkably well. I mean, there's a lot of people at, you know, 6 months, 8 months, that first year is the toughest year. Many of us were non-functional. We were thinking we were losing our minds. We were locked in rooms and crying and depressed. And I see two elements that I think are a little bit key to that. One is the purpose of the foundation, and the other is your faith. And I really would love you to talk about both of those and how you think they've played a role in the positive progress that you feel you've been making.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Tom. I think you hit it on the head. And I think the catalyst, though, I have to go back to the catalyst was her MS diagnosis and a change in our attitude together. It rekindled both of our relationships with each other, mm-hmm. but also it rekindled our relationship with God and our purpose, that mm-hmm. we have an actual purpose. And it's not about a disease, or we don't identify with those things. We identify with the actual purpose of our faith. And mm-hmm. and we've been shared all the way through from that point forward, the absolute assurance that we have a purpose here, but that's not the end of everything. Mm-hmm. That's not the end of our journey, right? I know she's okay. I know she's smiling, full of joy, with praise, making people laugh, no more pain, no ailments. But that doesn't change the fact that I'm still here. It also doesn't change the fact that it was extremely painful and extremely agonizing to have her not next to me the next morning, and mm-hmm. to wake up in an empty home and to have silence. Mm-hmm. Right? Those were brutal moments. The tears were huge and the grief was strong, but that part of that first part of the backbone, knowing that she was okay and knowing that she fulfilled her purpose. She touched so many people. We had an amazing celebration of her life. And we brought these people from all these different walks of life together that she had interacted with throughout her life, that you would never see those people in the same room if it wasn't for Candy. And that was partly then the inspiration for a follow-up passion for me. Mm-hmm. With her diagnosis and subsequent extensive surgery and treatment, I left full-time employment at Chiron and actually started up my own consulting business that I could do sort of while I was being a caregiver, and took that healthcare expertise and started making, you know, additional connections. Well, one of the things that made it very clear after she passed was that I needed to carry this forward with the talents and skills that God bestowed upon me to actually renew my passion. So the foundation is absolutely part of my go forward life now. And with that, it lightens my burden. Mm-hmm. I know that there's nothing more that I could have done for her. I know that there's nothing more that we could have done together to change that outcome. But I do know that we can use her example in life in the foundation to bring other people together and to change the way people actually face these kinds of things that she faced.
Yeah, and maybe improve those outcomes later, even though you know that you did everything, but the outcomes maybe could have been different with more knowledge, more support, and some of those things as well. And I know for me, it definitely lightened the burden. Like, I still went back to professional work. I still have, you know, I started a consultancy myself. Even though I left and dedicated to the purpose first and grow through grief, but I don't view it the same way. I don't, you know, to me, it's like a facilitation of being able to do the purpose-based work that I'm there to do rather than build a big enterprise or build this big, you know, success or anything else. And I know it's going to be successful because part of that success will let me support the other purpose-based and the other reach that I have, you know? So I don't know if that has changed for you too, where you're viewing your work differently and not being kind of a goal unto itself, but that there's a bigger purpose even in that.
Yeah, it's I owe it to Candy. I really do. I know faith is a part of it, but it's actually about our journey together that got me there. The funny part is I was a type A driven career professional. Mm-hmm. With hard charging 100% of the time. She was 100% supportive of that. Mm-hmm. As even before she passed, as I took her away from full-time employment, I was serving her as well as, you know, putting together my expertise into a way that I could, you know, earn and do some things. What I realized was that all the gifts that I was given can be employed, and it doesn't have to be like solo about me in a ladder and driving to try and achieve something, a goal that I can be proud of. This was much more than that.
Yeah.
It was much more about the purpose that I carry actually will enable me to have the time to do the other things. Mm-hmm. So it has changed the way I've looked at it. And I think that's also part of her heart coming through to me mm-hmm. and holding things more lightly and ensuring that I do the things that, one, I love, and two, that are also things that I'm actually gifted to do.
All right, Alex, I'm sure there are those times where, and you mentioned it, where there are definitely the tears, the sadness. What are a couple of the things that you've struggled with?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So even though I make it seem like everything's good and I've got passion and I'm moving forward, you know, the truth is I still miss her every day. I miss her presence. I miss the way she just lit up the room when she was in it. She had a special laugh. Everyone who knew Candy knew her laugh because that's the way she lived life. She lived life with joy. And it's a choice that she made. She always said, you know, daily she just had a choice, and her choice was to live with joy. She embraced it after the MS diagnosis. And it's the one thing I really do carry forward into my heart with the struggles, with all the things that sort of drive me to think, well, is this really, you know, worth it? I miss her so much. And how do I keep this going? How do I make the right decision? How do I not have her to help me? But what I do is I just consciously choose to be grateful for the time we had, to remember and honor all the just amazing times and minutes of normalcy. Mm-hmm. It just made our life together so beautiful. And just consciously, even out loud, say it sometimes, just I'm choosing joy because that's what I should do.
Yeah. And then being grateful for that time that you did have together, I think is important as well. And also knowing that you do still have purpose and a life to live. I know that pivot was really important for me. What's the one piece of advice you'd like to leave our growth warriors or widowers with today, Alex?
Yeah, I just say please recognize that you're not alone. Your journey is personal for sure, and it's unique. But I thought I was the only one that could have had it like I had it and was going through what I was going through and had the kind of tragedy. Not that other people don't have it, but I mean, she was young. I was young. We still have lots of life left. Mm-hmm. So for me, you're not alone. That's one. And if I could add another, I would say that when you're in that down period and you're feeling that way, just serve someone. Mm-hmm. Simple. Pick up the phone, call somebody you haven't talked to in a while just to say hello, but serve someone. When you're feeling a bit lost, get out and do something for someone else or with someone else. And it very quickly will remind you that you're a value, you have purpose, and you have a reason to keep going forward. And I would honestly, Tom, I'm super encouraged to be able to find you and grow through grief through the network. So like I said, you're not alone. Reach out to other resources, connect with folks around your story, learn about theirs, and grow together.
Alex, thank you so much. The Candy Hamlow Foundation is .org. We're going to include that in the meeting notes, so please visit that and learn more about Alex's mission and purpose and foundation for his late wife. And thank you so much for your insights and advice.
Thank you, Tom. I do really appreciate it. And I do encourage anybody to come take a look and just ping and connect and say hi. And I'd love to hear about your journey. It doesn't have to be about the foundation either. So
yeah, that's great. Thank you, Alex. And like you said, you're not alone. So there are fellow widowers who I know for me, reaching out to others and helping them ultimately help me and talking with others was not something I had in the beginning. And I really wish I had someone or took advantage and kind of sought it out. And I didn't. So I know what an important part it was in my healing process, kind of 3-4 years in when I started to do that. And doing it earlier, I know can help. So please take Alex's advice there. Thank you for listening in to our Grow Through Grief podcast. If you like what you heard, please hit the like button. Be sure to subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. And until next time, my growth warriors, keep growing.